I want to talk to you about the three ways to victory. We covered supplication in about 2 or 3 weeks. We covered supplications of Paul. We covered praying for governments. I was going to go into intercession. I'm not going to do that at this time, but I'll probably be back there fairly soon. But I want to talk to you about victory. There are three roads to victory. You know, victory is promised of God. So this is the victory that overcomes the world. Overcomes. When you come over, you come over. You come by, you come through, you come past. It means the obstacle that's in your way, usually it's a person. I don't know what obstacles come with two legs, two eyes, and two ears. You know, but there's something in your way, and you're going to overcome that. You're going to come past that, and you're going to have great victory. God promised victory. He says, God, the scripture doesn't say a lot of different things. It uses different terminologies to give the same concept. Paul talked in Romans 8 about being more than a conqueror. Well, that's victory. And then to Corinthian church, he said, thanks be to God, always cause us to triumph. Well, that's victory. John used the word prosper. Joshua used the word succeed. It doesn't matter. If you prosper, you succeed. If you succeed, you have victory. If you have victory, you're conquered. If you conquer, you've triumphed. And it's just a circle. You know, if we all saw an accident and you gave your report to the police, it wouldn't sound exactly like my report. And yet it is the same report, the same accident that we're talking about. And so if you get your like terminologies and your same concepts together, the scripture begins to open up and it's more easily understood. Now it says, this is the victory. John said, this is the victory, 1 John 5. This is the victory. This is the victory. So it's very clear. Victory is when you dominate, you prevail, you're on top, you're out front, you haven't lost. Well, just to say this is the victory indicates we have an obstacle here, we have an enemy here, we have some opposition here. If there's no opposition, we couldn't toot very loud and say, well, we have victory. If nobody came against us, no concept came against us, no governmental body wanted us to line up in a different manner, you know, we wouldn't use the word victory. When we say we had victory, we triumphed, indicates that there was some trauma here that we've overcome. Well, we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We're going to overcome these three ways. We were overcome, and we know we have victory because the word of God declares it, because the blood of God has enforced it, and the name of Jesus reigns over all disorder. And it doesn't matter which way we go. This is a cycle. The word tells us about the blood. The blood honors the name. The name is powerful because of the blood, and the blood is powerful because of the word and the promise. And so it's all the same concept, the roads to victory. Now, if you go to my daddy's house, which is not really my daddy's house anymore because we sold it, you can go several different ways. You can go down Highway 92. You can go down Saddle Creek Road. You can go down the old Warner Haven Road and loop around and go the long way if you want to. There are a lot of routes there, but eventually all of those roads will lead you. It doesn't matter which way registers in your heart, which way is more significant to you. All of these ways will lead you to victory, ensure your victory, and hold you steadfast against obstacles. Now, I just want to highlight the word today, and then we'll go on to the other two. But look at Isaiah 55. This is a powerful passage that we often read. Seek ye the Lord, verse 6, while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. We used to sing, why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? I don't know why that comes back to me. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know, it's better to be right up front with God and not wait so long. Not to wait to see if we can work it out. Chances are we can't work. If you could have worked it out, you'd already worked it out. Isn't that right? Now, he's talking particularly about those that are lost. He said, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him return unto the Lord. He will have what? Mercy. God's a God of great mercy. And to our, he will abundantly pardon. Our one, the Hebrew actually says he will multiply pardon. And I like that. Multiply pardon. Because of his mercy, because you qualify, because of righteousness, because you sought him and you came before him recognizing that you needed him. Now it says the way and the thinking of the righteous, the unrighteous and the wicked is totally different. And then it goes on to say, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and your thoughts than my thoughts. My thoughts than your thoughts. Heavens are higher than the earth. Now, if we stand outside and we look, our thought is on an earthly plane, and God's thoughts is my thoughts are higher than the heavens. And so we've got quite a disparity here, quite a distance between the way God is thinking and the way I might think. Well, what's going to close in that gap between the plan of God and the plan of man? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is going to bring that gap together and is going to reveal to us the mind of the Lord. Paul said, you have the mind of Christ. I have available to me in my situation, in this dilemma where I need to overcome, I have available to me the mind of the Lord. I have available to me the promise of God, the word of God, and the spirit of God to instruct me in that promise. Now it says God doesn't think like we do. And you know that just by reading the scripture, because if we'd come to the Red Sea, we wouldn't have stuck out a rod over the Red Sea expecting to depart. We'd have gone this way, a committee this way to look for a bridge, and a committee this way to look for a ferry. We wouldn't have thought, well, we'll just command it to open. And we would have rescued Daniel before the night that he was thrown into the lion's den. We would have got a committee together, soldiers together, a plan of the fortress, and we would have made sure we could get in with the time the guards passed through. And we would have brought him out and not allowed that to happen. But God said, no, throw him in. They won't hurt him. See, because God's ways are this high. They're this high. God is great big. He doesn't think like you do. He's not limited to the natural order as you are. And so he says, we're going to have the thoughts of God. Now, the thoughts of God are in his word. So many of God's thoughts. This is God speaking to me. And if I asked God, I don't know what to do my finances, he'd say, Becky, if you'd give, it'd be given unto you. If you've tithed, Becky, the winds of heaven would open you out a blessing. Because God doesn't change and his word doesn't change. And God always keeps his word. And the word is the sure path to victory. If I know what God is saying and I hold fast to what God is saying, then I'm going to have victory. It's assurance of victory. The word says we have victory. There isn't any victory apart from walking with God. It's just the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If I want to walk with God, I've got to know where he wants me to put my steps. And I know that through the word and by the Spirit who makes God's word and God's will and God's way clear to me. And it says God works in me to will and to do his good pleasure. He works in me so that I recognize his will, so I know his will. Well, so much, I don't have to ask God, you know, I'm thinking about stealing something. What do you think? Because it's already written, thou shalt not steal. So much is already written. And the word of God is the key to victory. Now he says, verse 10, for as the rain comes down from heaven, the snow returns not thither, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper the thing whereunto I have sent it. He uses the rain and the snow as an example. They come to earth and they accomplish a purpose. The rain doesn't come halfway down and then circle back and change its mind and go heavenward, but it comes to the earth, and on the earth it accomplishes a purpose. The snow accomplishes a purpose, the moisture of the snow. When we were in Russia, the snow gives the bulbs a rest, and they plant vast gardens there of tulips and daffodils, I think they were. And we were there in the spring, and they had come up about 3 inches, and you could see them in the garden across from where we, the park from where we stayed. And they had come up, and then 2 days later, they were totally covered in snow. But I asked about them. They said, oh, don't worry. They're still under there, and they'll be springing right back up when the snow melts. But see, the rain has purpose, and God said, I've sent my word, and my word has purpose. My word is going to return not thither. In other words, it's not going to be void. It's not going to be futile. You know, you make a shopping trip, and you go for a pair of shoes. I've done that 55 times lately, it seems like, to find a pair of Sunday dress shoes flat. And now the ones with the heels have these tiny little heels that only about a, you know, that you can fall off of those things. Well, I don't need any help falling off of my shoes. So what happened to her? She fell out of her shoes. I mean, no, that's not going to work for me. So I'm looking for something in particular, and I like a shoe that looks like a Sunday shoe. Now, I don't know about you. I was raised where we had Sunday clothes and Monday clothes. I still have Sunday clothes and Monday clothes. If you just have Monday clothes and you wear them all week, even on Sunday, that's okay with me. I don't have any problem with that. But we have Sunday clothes and Monday clothes. And Tuesday clothes and so forth. My sister-in-law, she's precious. She gets up, gets dressed every morning. She works, and she wears that until she goes to bed at 9 o'clock at night. The minute I come home, I'm looking for my at-home clothes. I have at-home clothes, and I have grocery store clothes, and I have church clothes. And I'm changing clothes, and I change clothes all of the time. And she never changes clothes. And I saw her in the kitchen making supper. She still got on her suit and her hose. I said, Brenda, take a break. She said, well, I don't ever change clothes. You change clothes? Why are you going to change clothes? She didn't see that. And I said, by the unction of the Spirit of the living God, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, well, I see you dress for the day, but I always dress for the occasion. I never thought of that before in my entire life. See, we have God in us. God in us. God in us by the Spirit. Well, we want the Word of God to be highlighted and the Spirit of God to have substance, to have the Word and substance from that Word so that He can deal with us. Well, it says, my Word goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void. Empty, futile. Well, you make a shopping trip looking for shoes. You remember my shoes? Plus, I have a very, very narrow foot. I used to wear quad A. And shoes are hard to come by. And you can go and the whole trip is futile. It's void. It's in vain. That's what this means. God's word does not ever, it's not ever void. It's not ever futile. It does accomplish. It will fulfill its purpose. If we digest the word of the living God and believe that word and hold fast to that word and don't retreat or withdraw from that word, the word of God is going to work mightily. And the word of God in my heart and in my mouth is my constant guarantee of victory, because God does not change and his word doesn't change and he never tells a lie. And if God has said it and I hold fast to what God has said, it is going to happen. And the key to victory is to know that God has spoken and his word is true and it is going to happen. It is going to happen. So it says it shall accomplish. Now it says it shall prosper. The word prosper in the Hebrew means to push forward. I like that. Not backwards, not to retreat, but to push forward. Anytime you prosper, you're pushing forward, not just holding steady. You know, there have been occasions if I just hold my ground, I'm a happy camper if you've been there. But this is not just holding your ground, but you're able to push forward. And it's you're making progress. The word of God in the human heart, in the spirit, spoken out of the mouth of every believer, knowing that God has spoken. Now look at Numbers 23, is going to bring me the victory I need. Years ago, I substituted for a lady to teach and to conduct prayer meeting and for her. And at prayer meeting, they were able, the way they did it, they turned in requests. And you prayed with them individually. And so I said to the first lady, what scripture are you basing this request on? Well, she didn't have a clue. And most of them didn't. There wasn't but two or three. It was a fairly large group that knew what scripture they were basing their prayer request on. In other words, they're unanchored. They're just like a fluffy cloud floating along, hoping God takes hold of that cloud and brings results. You're going to get a lot better results with the word than without. The results are in the word. So I could see the ladies on the far side, because I started this way. They're flipping through their Bible. I mean, they're hunting a word from the Lord. I'm always fascinated by how God deals with us by his word to pray for people. I was praying for a lady who had surgery. And I came to the Old Testament that said, blessed are those that have rest. I was captured by that. I looked up the word rest. It means to be comfortable, quiet, and at ease. And I said, that's what we want today. That she's comfortable, quiet, and at ease. We want rest for her. You see, and every time I think about her, I can pray in other tongues. I do pray in other tongues. But I can say, I thank you, Father, that she is at rest, that she has comfort, that she has ease, that she's quiet. It also means to be still. You know, if you're in pain, unless they knock you totally out, you're not very still. And so it's a wonderful word from the Lord. And so when we pray, if we have a word from the Lord, we're anchored. Our faith is anchored, and we have a word in the Spirit because we prayed in other tongues. And when we bring those two together, we have real assurance. The word is the anchor. It is the way to victory. Now it says, verse 19 of chapter 23 of Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie. God does not ever tell a lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? This is Balaam talking to Balak. And Balak, king of the Moabites, he had called for Balaam, who's prophet, and wanted Balaam to come in and curse Israel. He could see that he was outpowered, overnumbered. And he thought, you know, that prophet, whatever that prophet says comes true. You better call him and get him to curse Israel. Not knowing the prophet's not just randomly speaking. And he said, you tell him what all I'm going to do for him. Well, he sent a committee of men and he wouldn't come. He said, I can't say anything but what God is saying. Doesn't matter how much silver, how much gold he offers me. I'm going to only speak what God is saying. Well, eventually, he wouldn't go with that group. The king sent another group. And finally, he went. And when he stood to, he showed him, he took him to a place where he could see all of Israel and the Moabites were definitely outnumbered. And he said, you curse them so we can win. Well, Balaam began to speak and he spoke by the Spirit. He spoke from his heart and spoke a great blessing on Israel. And he said, wait a minute. You blessed them. I called you to curse them. He said, I told you. I can't say anything but what God is saying. And this is his word. He did that three times. And this is his word to the king. God is not a man that he should lie. In other words, God said they're his people and they're blessed people. And God didn't lie about that, and God's not changing his mind. He's not wavering there. He's not altering his plan. They are his blessed people. As long as they obey him, he's going to bless them. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 28. If they heard his commandments, hearken his commandments, all of these blessings would come upon them and overtake them. And he said, we can't change that. And he said, verse 20, I've received a commandment to bless. He had the word of the Lord, the commandment of God. And he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You cannot reverse the word of the Lord. God has spoken. God had said they are blessed people. And he said, God doesn't have to repent. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? If down the line God said, you know, I thought I'd save people through the cross. I've changed my mind. If we can't depend upon God, who can we depend upon? But see, he said, God never lies. His word's eternal. It's perpetual. It's continual. It's engrafted into our heart through meditation. And it is. His word is. If I have the word, I have victory. Now, what hinders me is Peter walking on the water. He had victory. He had the word. Jesus said, come. He sought the word. He said, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. So he had the word. He's walking out on the water. He's walking on the word. And then the wind was boisterous. He began to sink. First of all, you don't begin to sink. You're either on the water or under the water. You're not beginning to sink. And he began to sink. Of course, Jesus reached out and rescued him. But it was the wind and the waves. Now, we know from the end of the book of John that Peter was a fisherman and could swim, because when Jesus appeared after the resurrection, he jumped out of the boat and swam to Jesus. So we know he had the capacity to swim, but something about the viciousness of the storm that so startled him, he must have thought, I'll never get there. And he began to sink. He turned loose of the word. Well, you know that wind had absolutely nothing to do with his walking on the water. I mean, if you're going to try walking on the water, you go to your pool and be sure you choose a day that's real calm and the wind's not blowing. Do you see the wind didn't have anything to do with it? It was a subterfuge. It was Satan blowing in your face and say, you can't do this. Look at this wind. Look at this storm. And he got off of the word and onto the feeling. So there's some obstacles. We're supposed to cast down imaginations. Every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we're going to cast some things down. We're going to stick to the word, hold to the word. The word is eternal. God does not lie. The word works. The word works. The word works. If I have the word, I have victory. As long as I don't sit down and quit. Now, you know, there's some things I'm a quick quitter. I tried the phone, and I thought, okay, I can't do it. I hand it to Wayne. I said, get me so-and-so on the phone. I can't figure that out. We had my sister on a long trip in the back seat, and she's beating on the back seat with her phone. And Wayne said, what kind of phone is that? Is that a smartphone? And she said, no, it's a really dumb one. Well, I don't think it was the phone, but just don't know this for sure, but don't think it was the phone's problem. I think it was the operator error. That's the same with the TV. You have to mash two or three or four buttons to get the TV to come on, do what you want to do. And I try it once or twice. And something about this is you do it exactly like they told you to, which last time worked, but this time doesn't work. You've seen that happen? Oh, yes, it happens. And I just give up. I just quit. There's some arenas I'm not working at it very hard. I just quit. I say, okay. So I can't get my channel. You know what my channel is. I only have a couple. And so I get somebody to come help me. Well, anytime you quit, you lose. If you're holding fast to the word and you let anything, any obstacle talk you out of the word, you turn loose of the word, you're going to lose. Because the word is the foundation, the word is the anchor, and the Spirit of God, who brings the power of God in cooperation with the power that's automatically in the word, has nothing to anchor, nothing to work with, because the Spirit and the word work together. So it's not all Spirit, it's not all word, it's the word of God and the Spirit of God holding hands and joining hands together. And as long as I hold fast to the word, I know that God is working, that he does not lie. He said his word. Now, Jeremiah 1 says he hastens his word to perform it. The word hasten is actually the word watch over. Some translations change it, and he watches over his word to perform it. He's watching for a Christian, you and I, who will grab his word, hold fast to his word, and refuse to turn loose of his word and not draw back from his word, knowing the key to victory is what did God say, and what God says, he works it out. He performs it according to his word. Now, do you notice in this verse it says, Isaiah, it said, the word, he sent his word, his word would not return unto him void. Who's returning it unto him? It would be you and I. As we hear the word, as we digest the word, and then we begin to speak the word and begin to return that word, you say, Lord, I thank you because you've said. I thank you because I know this according to your word. And we begin with the words of our mouth to take the word that is written and return that word. And so often it's the leadership of the Spirit to put us at the right place at the right time. Now, I'm not against reading the Bible through, but that doesn't work as well for me. I know by the Spirit almost every time where I should be reading, where I should be meditating. Now, being a legalistic person, it would be easier for me. Legalism says start at the beginning, read to the end. But I found out the Lord doesn't deal with me that way. And when I'm in the Spirit, I know. I just finished reading Revelation. I'm going to read it again shortly. I felt such an unction there. So what do you know? I don't know. You understand all that? Well, not really. But it said the reader of Revelation is blessed. And so I said, thank God for the blessing. And it has been a real blessing. And I always capture a little more than I captured last time. And I read it from the beginning to the end. Very unusual for me. I was reading Christ the Healer again the other day. My children used to harass me about that because I never read the end of a book. I couldn't figure that out, but I figured that out. I read by unction. I study by unction. I try to be where the Spirit of the Lord wants me, and that works better for me than from A to Z. I'm not against A to Z. I've seen people do that by the Spirit. I can't do that by the Spirit. But I taught Christ the Healer, chapter 2, 3, and 4, probably for a decade before I ever read the end of the book. And what I found out, the Lord shared with me one day, once I get to a place that really lights my fire, where I really have unction, where I really see what God is saying, I'm finished with that book. I don't care if it's chapter 1 or chapter 42. I got it. I'm finished with that. We were in the mountains, and they have a library there in the house that it's a relative of a relative lets us use that house. And I took a book from the library on Ephesians, and I was reading. I was fascinated. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant book. I called back the office. I said, find me a copy of this book. So she called back laughing, Suzanne did. She said, oh, I found it. It's out of print, and it's $600 a copy if we find one. I said, okay, let me think a minute. But, you know, about chapter 2 or 3, I'm finished. It was brilliant. I'm finished. I just finished because God has begun to work. See, and if I'm in the Word in the middle of my dilemma, and I know I have victory, and I know God's Word speaks, and I know God doesn't change His mind, and I know He doesn't have to repent, and I know if I hold fast and I begin to speak that Word, that divine unction, that emphasis, that sense of release and joy and fervency is going to carry me through the dilemma, through the fire. We used to sing a song, some through the fire, some through the flood. Well, I don't actually believe in the fire and the flood. I believe in victory. But I've seen sometimes victory is over there. And I'm going to walk on top of the water with the Spirit, by the Word, to that place of victory. And I'm not going to sink. And I'm not going to collapse. And I'm not going to withdraw. And I'm not going to be fractured. I'm not going to be afraid because God is in me. And so maybe, you know, you go to a clinic and they want to run extra tests. I don't know about you. They always want to do something extra to me. I go yearly, and they want to do something extra this year. And I have to stay. Now, why are we doing this? Their information is usually shallow. And a couple times I said no, but normally I try to be cooperative. And the other day, they wanted to run an extra test on the extra test. And then an extra test on the extra test. And that's the truth. Now, I'm getting kind of nervous, you know. Extra test, extra test, extra test. Thinking, this couldn't be good news. And I searched my heart. What does God say? What is the word of the Lord? I said, I have to have an anchor here, Lord. I have to have peace beyond understanding. You promised that to me. When God says it, it'll come to pass. But you've got to find it, hold fast to it. It says if you acquire the word, you have to, well, you have a copy, but you have to acquire it in your heart. And you have to magnify it in your heart. And say, I'm not turning loose of this, Lord. You said peace beyond understanding. And I found out the battle raging in my mind. And between the word and the promise of God, there was all night long that night, there was this battle raging where your mind would say, what if, what if, what if? And your heart would say, by His stripes, He sent His word. There was this battle raging. I found out the word works and the word wins. But sometimes not without a battle. That's why that verse is in there, casting down imaginations, because of the battle. Well, let me show you in Romans 10:17 that you may not know. The word works. Why do I have victory? Because the word works. I went for the first test or the extra test based on that test. I forget now where it was, but when they finished with me, I sat in the parking lot, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I spent 5-10 minutes laughing hysterically. Well, you think that'd put you over? Well, He knew I was going to have some trauma here, and they were going to keep calling me back, you know. And so He gave me that to hold me steady, because the Spirit works in alignment with the Word, and I know the Word. I'm holding fast to the Word, yet my mind is going ding, 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 ding. Why do they keep doing this to me? And during the night, I think, no, no, no. The Spirit of the Lord directed me to laugh. The Spirit of the Lord directed me, and laughter came upon me. I'm not one who just inadvertently laughs, because some people just do that. They're just funny, and they just laugh, and I like them, those kind of people, but that's just not who I am. Well, about the time of the extra test, based on the extra test, or somewhere down that line, I was like a man on a life raft, holding fast when the waves were tossing me here and there, determined not to come unanchored, because if I hold fast, I win. If I hold fast, I don't sink. Well, in the end, they said, at your age, that's my favorite medical line, at your age, Mrs. Cummings. And so what it is, it's a normal condition that some people of my age have. And so all is well. But I'm going to tell you, we have an anchor that fills the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, anchored fast and deep. You can be anchored, but if you don't have the Word, you don't have an anchor. The Spirit agrees with the Word. And if you just go back and said, Lord, you said that I would prosper, that I would push forward. You said that you didn't lie to me. You said your Word would always come to pass. You said you didn't ever change your mind. You said, what if God wavered? And I remind him what he said. I said, I'm dependent upon you and not my righteousness. Not because I know a lot of the Word. I don't know as much as some, but I know more than others. And it's not based on what I know. It's not based on my years of teaching. It's based strictly on what you have said and on your mercy to bring to pass in my body what you have ordered. And I will not turn loose. Now, our children were 10, 11, 12 when we came into Pentecost. We were raised in a denominational church. And quite quick, we taught them every single day what the Word said. We had devotions and taught until they got restless with that. And then we put them in charge of a lesson. They take turns, and by that time, they knew how to do that. In fact, they took longer. I could teach in 10 minutes, and they would take 20 because they enjoyed the limelight, I guess. But they knew a lot about faith, and the things that we were learning, we put into them. You can see that today, how wonderful that is, how that well that works for you. You never waste your time in the Word with your children, with your family. And one day, Joel said to me, now, is this faith or is this real? See, he learned there's a difference. He's looking at what's real, the actuality of it, the circumstances, the dilemma. But faith is higher. God says, my thoughts are higher. Quit looking down here on an earthly level with your own thoughts. And look up here. He says, my thoughts are higher than heavens. Why do you think he gave Abraham, he said, Abraham, you'll have as many children as the stars of the sky or the sand of the sea. Well, Abraham wasn't always, it's a very sandy country. But there's a possibility that there were times when he would see more grass than sand. Not too much possibility, but some. He could look up to the sky at night. See, and that anchored him. God gave him that vision because he couldn't deal with Abraham's spirit, because Abraham's not born again. He doesn't have the life of God. He doesn't have the nature of God. He doesn't have the Spirit of God except coming upon him as God's prophet. And so God gave him, he worked in the Old Testament more in natural situations and natural examples than he does with you, because he says, men are led by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. You know the Spirit in your spirit, but he didn't have that advantage. And so God gave him. And if you go out at night and look at the stars and think God's thoughts are way up there, way up there. That means what God can do is so much bigger than what I see. What God can do is so much greater than the report they gave to me. What God can do is so much fuller, so much more expansive than my financial need. Now look, you know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. This is very important. There are two words for the Word. One is logos. And one is rhema. Both mean word, but they're different. Logos is the entire volume of the book. It's the whole deal. Rhema is the part that God is dealing with me about, the part that's personal to me. If you look it up in the Greek, It says that particular scripture that ministers to your urgent need, or something along that line. Now, the word used here is not logos. Faith doesn't come by knowing the book. It doesn't come by knowing the book. The book. Book's too big. And your mind's too small. And your heart's too small. Though it's growing in God. This word is rhema. Faith comes by the rhema. Faith comes by the rhema. Faith comes by the rhema. It comes by the word that God's placed in your heart. In the middle of this situation, the word that's going to bring you great victory. That word that's in my heart, because God and the Holy Ghost are dealing with me through His word, anchoring me so I don't waver. That word, that rhema word that's particular and peculiar to me, brings me enough faith that anchors me in order to walk through, past, over to that place of victory. And I have victory in my heart, but I have to get over there where I have victory in my circumstances, where my circumstances manifest what my heart has always known. And this is not logos. This is rhema. Now, when our children were in a car accident, several weeks before they were in a car accident, every time I'd go into the traffic light where the accident happened, I would hear these words in the spirit, and they were both together. Well, Suzanne didn't always ride with Joel to school. Sometimes she did other things, but she was with him that day, and they got hit by a motorized crane going through that intersection. I heard that word, and I thought, you know, I'm going to pray about that, but I was teaching three groups a week and three different lessons for the most part, and I was really busy, and so I didn't take time to pray. My. What a mistake. Well, for several weeks, every time I'd begin to meditate, I'd hear in the Spirit, no weapon formed against you will prosper. See, that's my rhema word. The rhema God has given me, that rhema word, because He sees what's coming. You know, it says the Holy Ghost shows us things to come. It means He shows us today about tomorrow. And He had given me some inkling about tomorrow, but I had not picked up on that and done justice by what God had dealt with me about. But I knew no weapon formed against me prospers. No weapon formed against me prospers. And it didn't matter where I was. When we left the denominational church, weeks before we left the denominational church, it was very difficult for Wayne. I had progressed along that I needed to move on. He wasn't quite ready. And we had some difficult times there. But I should have brought it, but I didn't think about it. Every time I'd get to teaching, I'd think, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That was my rhema word. I said it so much that Christmas, they gave me a Pella that has that verse on it. Still have it. They wrote that verse because they had heard me say it. But see, that was my rhema word. God knows He's fixing to move me. He knows there's going to be some opposition, some people saying, what are you doing? Because I'd been in the denominational church. My father was a staff member, other things. And Wayne was a little reluctant. And he knew there's going to be opposition. He's anchoring me that we're not ashamed of Pentecost. We're not ashamed of what God is doing in our heart. And He gave me that rhema. Faith comes by the rhema. Faith comes by the rhema, by the word that's for you. Well, as I meditate in the word, I say, Lord, what? In this situation, I know your word doesn't lie. I know you keep your word. Now look at 1 Kings. I know you always tell the truth. That is the word that I need, a word from heaven that will be my anchor. You know, Peter tried to anchor on the wind and the wind and the storm. What happened? He sank. Chapter 8, 1 Kings. I know I have victory because I have the word. I know I have victory because God keeps His word. I know I have victory because He watches His word. I know I have victory because He performs His word. Now look at 1 Kings 8:56. This is at after Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. You know, David desired to build a temple, but did not do so, but made provision, and Solomon actually built God's temple. Blessed be the Lord God, for He hath given rest. That's that wonderful word, rest. God gives rest unto His people. Repose, stillness, calm, quiet, comfort. According to all that He promised. He gives rest according to His promise. That means we have to know the promise. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. One word had not failed. And if I say to my children, we'll get tennis shoes tomorrow, but tomorrow comes. And don't say that. Do not do that. Give yourself, say, we will get tennis shoes as soon as possible. We will get tennis shoes this week. Give yourself some time. If you say tomorrow, tomorrow's it. You continually break your word to your children. Even if you get up tomorrow and you feel deathly ill, your children will learn that you're not reliable. And somehow that passes into the hands of a God who doesn't always keep His word. And God always keeps His word, but they don't see God clearly because they've seen how you perform. Makes it, and if it's too late for your children, head for your grandchildren. influence the neighbor's children. But it says not one word fell. If I get up the next day and I thought I just don't really want to do it today, I don't feel like that. And the only word that fell was tomorrow. I said, we will do that Saturday. I only changed one word. I said, we will do that tomorrow. We will do that Saturday. I only changed one word. And this verse, God doesn't change even one word. Not even one word. Not even one. Do you see that? The security of knowing the word. The security of standing in the word. Now look at Romans chapter 4. Where it talks about Abraham and Sarah. The end of verse 16, chapter 4, it says, who is the father of Abraham, who is the father of us all? The word, keyword is all, A-L, the father of us all. The passage in front of that talked about the Jew and the Gentile, that Abraham was the father of both Jew and Gentile, not just of God's people. And it says, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. In other words, he's the father of all of us, the father of all nations, as it is written. Now, Abraham didn't have a copy of what was written, but you do, but we do. Paul did. They did have a scroll where it was written, I've made thee a father of many nations. He says, before him, which really says like him, whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things to be not as though they were. Well, if you go down to verse 19, you'll see, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, either at the deadness of Sarah's womb. So what was quickened or made alive was Sarah's womb and Abraham's ability to father a child. And so he had that circumstances, that obstacle. You have the promise of God. And you have that battle between the promise of God and the fact that your body says, this is not going to happen. This is not happening. Do you know how old you are? This is not happening. And you have that battle. Shh. We have an anchor. We have an anchor that fills the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. And he said he considered not his body. He didn't let his body tell him this won't happen. He didn't let the banker tell him it won't happen. You don't let your neighbor tell you it won't happen. You don't let your spouse tell you it won't happen. You don't let your mother tell you it won't happen. You don't let your children say, I don't think you can do it. Your children are wonderful to reflect what they see in our lives, and they're to be heeded and listened to because sometimes they tell the truth so that we can make the proper changes and adjustments. Don't even think about the body. Don't think about the storm. Think about the word. Begin to speak the word. Now it says in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Now, there's no natural hope. Their bodies are dead, ineffective for childbearing. There's no natural hope. Where did he get hope from? It says he believed in hope. It says, hope thou in God, hope thou in the word. 119th Psalm is full of words, verses about hoping in God and hoping in the word. He got his hope, his expectation. Hope is confident expectation. He got it from God. His body said it won't be. God said it will be. Now, he's got that battle between what couldn't possibly be and what God said will be. He's got to cast down that imagination and get rid of that. Don't think about that. Don't meditate it. Don't rehearse it. And certainly don't tell it to everybody you know. Now, I was in the clinic years ago when a lady said, I just sat down. I minded my business. She said, did I tell you I have cancer? I said, no, ma'am. I didn't even know who she was. Never had seen her before. She talked to me a few minutes. She didn't give me a chance to say anything. And the lady came to sit on the other side and she turned. She's tired of me. She said, did I tell you I have cancer? And the lady looked at me and went, how did I get drawn into this? She will never get healed no matter what she believes. She will never get well because of what she says. Because she's not anchored in the word. Now, I don't know if she knew any word, but she's not anchored. See, and you and I who know the word must use the word because the word does not fail. The word is, every single word is going to come to pass exactly like it was uttered by heaven. And all God asked me to do is plant yourself in that word. Now, Suzanne told me the neighbors planted corn. And she said, they're not going to have many ears of corn. And I said, see, we planted corn. My dad was a farmer. She's watched corn grow all her life. Silver Queen corn, the highest kind of white corn of its day, takes 92 days to come to harvest. And you can't plant it, but so if you plant it very close together, you're not going to get too many ears of corn. You're just going to get good-looking bushes. And the neighbor planted theirs all close together. And I left. I said, how do you know he's not going to get a good harvest? He's got it too close together. Pop would never plant it like that. She knew what she had seen. See, but I have to see through God's eyes. I have to see what God is seeing. Now, Wayne and Suzanne have sharper vision than I do. They're talking about some bird. We have an owl that comes periodically. We have beautiful redbirds this time of year, and they're looking. I'm looking to see what they see. You know, where I said, where is it? Where is that? And they said, you don't see mother right there. I mean, tell them I think I won't. I just can't get it. So I don't see that. And she'll say, right here, right here. You see that? You see this? See that flower? Move left. And that's the way it is with the word. I said, I say that one more time, God. Show me that one more time. Make sure I see that very clearly. Abraham has got to see. He and Sarah with a child to see God's word come to pass and to not let his body tell him it ain't happening. And he did that with great success. But God helped him because his name was not Abraham, it was Abram. It's an interesting fact. You go back and check the Old Testament. Abraham means high father, exalted father, which means he was an important community figure. Abraham means father of a multitude. He didn't have one little tude. And he wasn't going to have one. Because he's 100. Which at a... No, I say that all the time. At 100, it seems okay to me. Doesn't it to you? That he not father child. I mean, it just seems good to me. But God's thoughts. Look up there, God's thoughts. Think, wow. Wow. I wouldn't have thought of that. God, that's why I'm telling you. When God changed his name to Abraham, he began to say, now if I decided today Abraham's the father of multitude, I'm going to change my name to Nancy. Well, y'all would think, what is wrong with her? I've been Rebecca Suzanne all my life. My mother intended me to call Becky Sue, but that didn't work out for her, even though she's in the deep south. People call me Becky Sue. I know they were from my father's family who didn't live here, and they got the invitation when I was born that said, little Becky Sue has come. And they're still holding fast to that. And that's what God intends you to hold fast to what he said, no matter what's happening. He said, but you said. And Moses, all Moses was, God, you said you were long-suffering. You said you were merciful. And Daniel said, wait a minute, we don't qualify here. We're sinners. But we come not based on our qualification, but based upon your mercy. And we just stick fast with what God... See, every time he said, my name's Abraham, he said, I'm father of multitude. Well, you know, his friends thought, what is wrong with him? How stupid can you get? You know how long it took. 75 years old he was, 100 years old when Isaac was born. Do you know how what the time gap is between the day that he began to say, I'm Abraham, and the day that Isaac was born? You know how long that took? Speaking the word. 1 year. 24 years. 1 year. I have faith in God. See, it's the word. We're going to win because of the word. Because we're anchored in the word. Now look at Mark. Let's end with this Mark 11:23, which you know, but I want to show you something. Verse 22, have faith in God, have the faith of God. Here's how God's faith functions. Jesus had cursed the fig tree. Verily I say unto you, whosoever, are you a whosoever? Mm-hmm. Shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Now one translation says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, move! And shall not doubt that the mountain will move, then the mountain does move. Whosoever shall say, move, and shall not doubt that the mountain will move, we'll find that the mountain does move. It's all in believing God in your heart and saying what God has said with your mouth. It's all in the saying. Now, people that are very quiet, they have problem with talking. They have problem with speaking up. People that talk all the time have problem with shutting up. They can hardly deal with it if they can't give you the details they want. Did you know? Did you hear? Have you seen? But we're going to corner ourselves. The path of victory is in the Word. And if I've got the Word, not one word of my Word will fail. I can't bring my Word to pass. You've already tried that, haven't you? I've made commitments that I couldn't fulfill. I am so cautious these days. I have a couple of horrendous memories of trying to do something that was almost completely impossible. And I thought, why in the world did I say I wouldn't do that? You know, But if I can corner myself and say, but God, you said, and I have faith in you, and your word works, and it doesn't fail. Not one word fails, and it's eternal. And it says God's counsel is immutable. Now, you know Mutant Ninja Turtles. When something's immutable, it doesn't change. And it says the counsel, the advice, the will of the Lord does not change. And so if I'm standing in God's word, if God's not going to change, I'm the only one that's going to change. And if I change, then the word that would have brought me to victory is null and void in my life. You see that, don't you? And it says, hold fast your confession of faith without wavering. You know why it says hold fast? Because it's real easy to turn loose. It's easy to turn loose. It's easy to get up and be in tremendous pain. First thing I want to do is say, Wayne, I have pain. I can't stand this. How long do I have to, and Wayne's very compassionate, very sympathetic. But I tell you, there were years at my house, and I thought, I could be dead in the floor, and y'all be stepping over my body saying, wasn't your mother believe in God? I thought, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my heartache. No, they're trying to work with me. Thank God for family that'll work with you. Holy Ghost, he's family. Now, Monday night in the middle of the night, I quit with this. I don't know. You may sleep at night, and I'd like to say I do, and I'm doing better all the time. I heard the words, home invasion. You've seen that on the news. You know what that is. But I heard it in a strictly spiritual context. Do not allow in your mind and in your spirit and in your heart an invasion of satanic thoughts. Do not allow a home invasion. This is God's home. This is God's temple. I belong to Him. And anything that comes to me that's not of God invades the home and the house that God and I dwell in together. And He said to me, do not allow a home invasion. And that's what we do, because we entertain the what if. And about the time we're doing the extra test on the extra test, I'm thinking, what are they looking for? What if? And sitting right there, I had my Christ the Healer. I took out Christ the Healer. I said, speak to me again. Tell me one more time. I said, I'm anchoring, Lord, I'm anchoring. I'm not wavering, because I felt myself shifting. Fear. Don't allow that. Don't allow home invasion. Fear is an invader. Worry is an invader. Disease is an invader. Say, no, God, you said. Somebody asked me, said, what if I die saying, repeating the word of the Lord? I said, you'd want to die in doubt and unbelief? Oh, no, I don't think so. I get to hell, one of God's side. I've never seen anybody try as hard as you did. I want to say, I'll tell you where you messed up. But I'm going to tell you, you made the best effort. They do that on the cooking shows. Some little cook did their best, had great skill, but wasn't good enough. And they always compliment them. And so we enjoyed watching you cook. We enjoyed your enthusiasm. They always say something vague but comforting rather than tell them, that was terrible. So we enjoyed your, I heard them say that. They said, we enjoyed watching you cook. You're so enthusiastic. I thought it was terrible. You see, all we want to do is anchor, anchor. Don't let the devil speak to you. Don't let circumstances speak to you. Anchor in the word. Where's the victory? It's in the word. Well, we thank you, our Father. Oh, for your dwelling with us, speaking to us and guiding us through the rhema, through the word that we need for today, whether it's a financial word, a healing word, a family word, word for a friend, and for the faith that rises as we continue to hold fast to that word and place that word over the threshold of this dilemma. And I thank you, Father. We do. Thank you that you don't lie. Thank you that your word's immutable, unchanging. Thank you that you don't waver. Thank you that you help us, keep us from wavering. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.